Well, thank you to Brenda for starting us off on our reflections this morning. As we're going to be talking together, thinking about these Beatitudes, these statements of Jesus that came at the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount. They're not commands. They're more like promises. They're statements. They're descriptions of who is happy and blessed in the kingdom of God. Like Brenda said, the word blessed is another way. Other ways to translate it are happy or satisfied or even privileged. Who is happy and satisfied and privileged in the kingdom of God? You know, it seems like that these days, at least it seems to me, that we need to really be thinking about what our values are as Christians. What do we value? What do we stand on? What do we hold strong to? And to do that, we need to occasionally just steep ourselves in the teachings of Jesus, in the thinking of Jesus, in the way that Jesus talked about the world and who we are in it, who is, how the kingdom of God works. So today we're going to spend some time thinking about, listening to, thinking about the meaning of these Beatitudes. They're very familiar words to many of us, but there always is richness in them if we spend a little time to think together, to hear them, to listen, to see what comes out for us. Brenda, like I said, Brenda already got us started on that, and we will think more about these again. I want to start by reading for you the passage again, and you will see that there are a couple verses we didn't read together in that thing on the back of the bulletin that come in, and they're probably the most disconcerting verses, but they're part of this passage. So now I would like for you just to listen again to Matthew 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I'm going to ask you to listen to it one more time. And this thing is making noise somehow. What do I need to do? Now? Like this? That? Is that better? Okay. Sort of. Do I need to do this thing? Oh, well, microphones and me, we have a wonderful relationship. Okay. So this time, as you hear it, just think about what hits you, if there's a word or a phrase or something that stands out to you as you listen. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What do you want to do? Okay. Always trying. Was there anything that especially caught your attention in these words? Or an idea or a question or something of that sort?
Well, I'm not feeling happy this morning.
You aren't?
I'm not.
Okay.
I feel great disequilibrium. I feel as though we are in a dark time and history is repeating itself. And I feel like I'm asking God, what is my role? Because we cannot be silent. But at the same time, to oppose anger and hate with anger and hate is pouring fuel on the fire. And the answers for me are somewhere in this passage. And I've been praying to God to make it evident to me what are the words and the actions that I need to undertake that are consistent with what's in here. To be meek, to reconcile, but not to be silent, and not to accept the hateful behavior of others that damages the innocent. And even though I'm not happy, I'm grateful that I can stand here in this congregation and say those words and know that you are feeling the same things in your heart. And that together, maybe we can figure out what the words and the actions are that we need to say, that we need to speak, that we need to demonstrate. So I don't have any answers this morning. Lots of questions.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. This morning I turned to the scriptures and I found Micah 6:8, a verse that was dearly loved by my husband and dearly loved by myself and my family. And it says, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" And today that is my mandate. And I too have felt like this week has been an unbelievably dark week in my life. Conversation yesterday with my sister-in-law, who is an immigration attorney working with the international students at James Madison University. And this week she said, I had a student coming in. She's a DACA student, a dreamer. And she said, all I could, in response to her weeping, was to say, "I'm sorry." And today I am calling myself to action, and I'm encouraging you to do the same. I've decided that I cannot sit still and do nothing. So I have talked to Betsy and a few others, and Saturday, February 11th, I'm encouraging women to come to my home on Saturday morning, and I want, Sarah Jackson has agreed to be a part of this group, and I want just to have us come together to find ways that we can also do something and not just sit. And in doing something, we're showing that we love mercy and that we're doing justice. So I would, if you're interested, please let me know. And I hope to not just sit by. I want to do something.
Thanks, Rhoda. Well, when you guys were talking, it reminded me of when we go back to look at some of these descriptors, these descriptors of who is happy in God's kingdom. You know, the poor in spirit, when you were talking, John, the poor in spirit, I came across this kind of explanation of what that means. And it says, those standing without pretense before God, stripped of all self-sufficiency, self-security, and self-righteousness. And to me, it's like coming to a place where you have nothing. You don't know what to do. You are poor in spirit. It is also poor in reality. I mean, poor in economic terms, but poor in spirit. And then blessed are those who mourn, who lament, who see what's going on in the world and are incredibly sad. Blessed, because comfort is hope. Blessed are the meek, those who are powerless to defend their claims, but who trust in God to intervene and break the grip. This isn't just us, but these are the people that we are concerned about. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. It applies, obviously. I think part of it is the connection that we make to people who are suffering. This week, I spent time again with Yasmin, and am discovering in my relationship with her that she deals with a lot of verbal abuse, and having her confidence has been undermined tremendously all her life, and so she struggles with depression. And I thought of a poor in spirit. The poor in spirit who are so helpless in the world, Jesus says, are the ones the kingdom of heaven is for. They're the ones. What else? What other thoughts have come to you? Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted, reviled, and slandered. What do you think?
When I was young, I always thought these values were some values to attain and to live by in your life. And over time, I've changed my opinion and seen this scripture as more of a thing of hope and of a way to say, these are the ways to say that God has given us to give hope to the people who are poor in spirit. And so maybe that's what we need to work with, is how do we provide hope for people, and where do we find our voice, and how do we give hope to people? Just like with Yasmin, maybe that's where we can be more of value.
And I think, well, that's a value in and of itself, is that looking at the world around us, our world, our place, through these descriptors, through these eyes, it might describe us, but it might describe others in our world. And these are ways that we relate. And the whole message of the Beatitudes is hope. It is what you said. It is totally that there that God responds. God hears, God knows, God. These are the ones who God is focused upon. This is where the kingdom is focused. How do we think about these values in comparison to our own cultural values? Which is, you don't have to respond to that.
Well, building off the Devana's comment about hope, I'll tell you what gives me a lot of hope in these kind of dark times is people's creativity. And I've often thought that maybe there needed to be a beatitude about blessed are the artists or blessed are the creative, because I truly believe that the opposite of war or the opposite of destruction is creation. And I think that I get a lot of inspiration from hearing about people's creative ideas. For example, there was a movement after, I believe after the election, for people to wear safety pins to show that they represented a safe space for those who were feeling persecuted. And I just thought that was an amazingly creative and simple gesture to do. And that little small thing just gave me a lot of hope.
Just a minute, Sam. I'll come to you.
Well, I can't help hearing these words and thinking about the Sunday school series that I've been researching and presenting about the prophets, and especially about the verse in Amos that is everyone knows, that of letting justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a flowing stream. I remember putting up the image on the screen of the flash flood and the cars all moved around and the houses, you know, falling down, and how, you know, Amos from his, you know, seems to be talking about more of a flash flood than a quiet stream. And I think a kind of transformation, upending of things is implied in the Beatitudes, because Jesus is talking to a world where the meek don't get what they want. They don't get justice. The people who hunger and thirst for justice stay hungry and thirsty. And so implied in the statement that the meek will be the ones that inherit the earth and the peacemakers will be called children of God, and all these statements, it implies a transformation and an upending from what was the situation at the time. And so it makes me think of what would have to happen in our world for these statements to be true on their face instead of just statements of hope, and the kind of transformation that would require.
Thanks, Nathan.
I don't know how many get the Mennonite Weekly, but I was just touched with the one whole page that said our next church is going to be immigrants.
Here. Here. Thank you, Sam. Well, I started off talking about what values do we carry as followers of Jesus? How do we decide where our heart is as we follow Jesus? And to kind of look through these Beatitudes with that idea as well, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Do we care? We care about those who are struggling, who don't have the strength that they need, folks struggling with depression perhaps, as well as inability to to meet their challenges in whatever they are, whether it's economically poor or undermined as people, struggling even ourselves in this period of time when we cannot get our feet on the ground, perhaps emotionally. We care about this. We care about these people. We give them value. Those who mourn, those who are as blessed are those who mourn, those who have an awareness of what is going on in the world and lament, those who are able to cry out and care. We value that. We value those voices. We value that caring sentiment, the meek, those who refuse to join in with the violence and the arrogant ways of the mighty, that we do not, that's not what we value. We value the meek, the ones who don't have the power to force their way to be whatever it should be, whatever they want it to be, but those who have to trust in God to intervene. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, these are the ones who yearn for a right relationship with God and the world around them, connections of caring with God and with people, the merciful who aren't necessarily counting tit for tat, but who err on the side of forgiveness and openness. Mercy, we value mercy. The pure in heart, that's not just if you're really good. That means if you operate without guile, you know, without, if you're genuine, you have integrity. We value this. We value honesty. We value openness in relationships. We value genuineness and authenticity in relationships. The peacemakers, reconciliation, those who work for reconciliation, those who take a situation of conflict, enter in with the goal of creating peace. Those who are persecuted, reviled, and slandered, that's a rough one. You know, rejoicing because of persecution is not, you know, being all proud of a martyr complex. It's not that. But sometimes it is the acceptance of being or belonging to a people of God who are out of step with the culture around them. These values are not values held highly by our culture, by probably all of us are steeped in our culture. But once we step outside those, step outside our culture and follow these values, put first these values of God, we're probably going to get pushback. In this time and age, you get called, you know, you get called a lot of things. You know, people are very good at this. But, you know, if you follow the values of Jesus as Jesus taught us, and perhaps you will get pushback. But you get pushback because you're standing where you want to stand and you're being who you want to be as followers of Jesus. Jesus, in these Beatitudes, Jesus reverses the general value system by promoting the blessings on the poor, the hungry, and those who weep. They are the ones in fortunate circumstances. Carry this with you, you guys. Carry these, look back at these values, stand on them, hold them. They're what Jesus taught us. Thank you for participating.
Let's again take our green Sing the Journey books and turn to number 94, Blessed Are They, and these are the same words set to music. I don't think we've done this maybe more than once before. And The words are, well, right below blessed are they, if you have your books open, you will see the word irregular. And that's a very good description for how the words are set to this tune, because each verse is a little bit different, and you have to kind of fit the words into the song. You'll see a couple of things. First of all, there's two lines there. The first one is verses 1-3, and the second one is 4-5. It's the same tune, but the rhythms are a little bit different. There are tiny little notes written in there. Forget it. Just sing what sounds right in your head, and we will just do fine. And then when we get to the refrain on the other page, be sure you see that the melody is in the middle line. Men, try that part on the bottom if you want. If we have a few brave sopranos, you could try the descant on the top, but the melody line is in the middle there. If you're able, please stand, and we'll give it a try.